The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everybody, this is Daryl Banks, co-creator of Green Lantern Kyle Rayner, and you're listening to the PVD Cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 331. I hope all is well with you, and thank you very much for checking out this episode of the PVD Cast. On this edition, I am joined by a gentleman by the name of Peter Abeda. Peter is one of the guys behind the Middle Class Film Class podcast. Tyler and Joseph are his partners, and their podcast is a mix of like movie news and movie reviews, and they have two different episodes that come out per week, one on Monday, one on Friday. And we're going to talk about not only the podcast Middle Class Film Class, but we're also going to talk about some of our favorite movies. In fact, I'll let the cat out of the bag. When I was doing some research for this episode, I discovered that the guys for MCFC had did an episode on Black Dynamite. So automatically they got 500 cool points because as everyone that listens to this podcast knows, I love Black Dynamite. It is one of my favorite movies of all time. So anytime I could sit down and chat with somebody who also appreciates that flick, it's always a good day. And actually we talk about a bunch of other movies as well. So it's a great episode. I hope you enjoy it. But before we get to my conversation with Peter, I need to remind you once again of the great sponsor of the PVD Cast, World's Greatest Comics. Folks, this past weekend was Free Comic Book Day. I stopped down to the store to see Jeff and all the fine folks down there. And I got there about 10 after 10, and the line was out the door and around the corner of the plaza. It was incredible. I'm not going to lie, I had to be somewhere at 11 in the morning, so I decided, you know what, I'll come back, and I did. I stopped back later in the afternoon around noonish, and Jeff said it was just such a busy day, especially at that beginning surge, and you know why people are going to World's Greatest to get their free comic books on Free Comic Book Day? Because they damn well know that it is one of the great comic book stores in Columbus, Ohio. They got everything that you need. They got toys, they got comic book supplies, they got single issues, they got graphic novels, they've got hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, they got it all. And so, be like some of these folks that were there this past Saturday, check out the store. If you are in the Central Ohio area, they're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. But if you're out of town or out of the Central Ohio area, you can still check out the store. Their website is wgcomics.com, and they're pretty active on their Facebook page as well. Just look for at WG Comics. And once again, I want to thank everybody involved with World's Greatest Comics for sponsoring the PVD Cast. It means so much to me. I really do appreciate it. More than words can express. All right, with that being said, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Peter Abeda from the Middle Class Film Class podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, this evening I am sitting down with Peter Abeda, one of the guys behind Middle Class Film Class. How you doing, Peter?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. How you doing?
I'm doing well, and thank you for taking some time to sit down and chat with me. I'm always looking forward to talking to a fellow podcaster to see if, number one, what they're doing, and also to see if they maybe share some of the same frustrations that I do.
I don't know. How long is your list?
it's sizable. Anyways. But let's start off real quick with letting my listeners know. If they would tune in to an episode of MCFC, what would a typical episode sound like?
So we the show's a movie. We call it a movie news and review show. And that what's different about our show than a lot of them is that we record it live to tape, like a morning kind of a talk show. You might see just driving down to work or something. So the intro music is done live. We talk over top of it. Sound effects and special effects and things like that, segment intros and outros and things like that are all done live. So, and we don't edit anything. So not to say that we're saying things that are completely shocking. It's, you know, shocking for the sake of shocking, but the three of us, it's Joseph, Tyler, and myself, and we're all very close friends. So when we get together, it's just, here's your news stories, here's my news stories, and we talk about it and talk about the ridiculous things like Armie Hammer being accused of being a cannibal and things like, you know, the complicated nature of certain news stories that are more serious, like Alec Baldwin, you know, accidentally slaying that person on set of Rust. And it's like, where's the culpability of them versus production company? And sometimes we'll talk about stuff or like, what's the best night of the week to watch a dad movie? You know, do you save that for Saturday, like The Fugitive? Would you watch that on a Tuesday or a Friday? So the first episode of the week is always on Mondays. It's Gavin Chatter. And that's just that. We talk movie news. We give streaming picks, all three of us, for what we've seen this week that's worth your time or not worth your time. And we just kind of shoot the shit a little bit. The second episode of the week is a deep dive review into one movie that we have chosen from our Spinning Wheel of Destiny, and all three of us have picks on there, and we have fan picks on there. So just last week, we capped off we did all three Godfather movies over the course of the last like month or so. The Godfather Part 3 was finally chosen. We have one listener who was very passionate about Part 3 and said, it doesn't deserve all the hate. Everybody says Part 3 is the worst. I think it's the best. And he sent me his message on our Facebook group saying how impassioned he was. So we had him on the show to defend Part 3 for being quote unquote the worst. And he gave a really impassioned, you know, soliloquy about why it doesn't deserve all the hate. So we do a lot of that listener interaction and a lot of fan interactions and stuff. It's really fun. It's a good time.
Do you personally feel that he is right, that Godfather 3 is the worst of the three?
Well, he says it's the best. Most people say it's the worst. And I think part two and part three are kind of a little bit of a push. There are things about part two that I really liked. I loved Fredo. I love Tom Hagen. They're both gone in part three, spoiler alert. And, but you have this fantastic Andy Garcia in part three, which plays who plays Vinny. You hate at the beginning, but he's so cool. And his character arc, although choppy and doesn't necessarily earn where he ends the movie is pretty good. So there's some good things about part two and there's some good things about part three. And then part two, I couldn't care less about the entire Cuba segment. That was 45 minutes long in the movie that I was just fighting off falling asleep. I know that's sacrilege, but
I'll freely admit I've never seen three because everybody has told me three is bad. So I've only seen one and two. And I agree with you. Two has some good points to it. And yeah, other parts, you're like, eh.
Yeah, so part two is widely regarded as one of the greatest sequels of all time. And a lot of people will argue that it's better than the first one, which I think is laughable, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's anywhere near the first one.
I agree with you.
I don't want a movie with just Al Pacino playing Vito Corleone as a young man. I don't want that. But I feel like the way that they made the movie, you could have had that as its own standalone movie. It was so, that part was so great. The old country and early America and all that story arc was fantastic. And then you're interspersed with a lot of Michael just kind of, I don't know, brooding. And supposedly there's a 7-hour cut that's chronologically in order. And it goes from Vito in the old country to the new stuff, to Michael taking over, to Michael's death, all in one cut. And it's like 7.5 hours. And I'm tempted to give that a watch and see if it really resonates with me. They cut out all the dead space and a lot of the drama that went nowhere, you know?
Okay. Is there another cut with Sofia Coppola? Didn't she do another cut, or am I incorrect on that?
I don't know. Well, there's The Coda, which is actually what I watched. And The Coda is part three re-edited. It loses about 20 minutes. And at the end, Michael doesn't die at the end. He just is an old man. They show him as an old man holding the puppy, playing with a puppy, and he just, they just don't show him dying. So I don't know what the difference is between the two, but the CODIS was, it was pretty entertaining for me. Some people say the CODIS edited in a more entertaining way, where by and large, part three was considered a cash grab because Coppola and Mario Puzo had no intentions of making a third one. And then they wanted whatever happened. And they said, okay, well, we got the studio asking us, let's just make a paycheck. And they couldn't get Robert Duvall on board as Tom Hagen over payment conflict. And then he cast Sofia Coppola as Mary. And that was questionable.
Okay. There's the connection. I knew there was something to do with Sofia Coppola in there. There you go. Okay.
She plays Michael's daughter and the love interest of Vinny, which is her cousin, which was another another fun side story. I love you, cuz. I love you too, cuz.
All right, let's go back to talking about the podcast. We got off on a tangent, but that's okay.
Yeah.
We do here in the PVD cast. That's A-okay. Why did you decide to start Middle Class Film Class?
So it was actually Tyler's idea. Tyler's one of the hosts, and he's kind of our wild card. Do you know what a crust punk is? Ever heard that phrase? Crust punk?
I've never heard that before.
Okay, so you got punks, you got skater punks, you got rail punks. Rail punks are like guys that hang out. They kind of live an anarchist lifestyle, but spend most of their time on like train cars, like hopping train cars. So all these weird subsects of the punk world, and he's what I call an aspiring crust punk, which is like you could mistake him on any given day as a homeless person. And it's almost a badge of honor. So his forte in movies is like 80s and 90s anime and John Carpenter stuff, Hellraiser, the Halloween series, like classic slashers and things like that, where me and Joseph are we're more into like more heavy dramas and I guess world building in our movies. And but Tyler really, really wanted to start this show with us, and the three of us would chat at length about movies, whatever movie we saw, you know, that week. And he's just like, we can do a podcast. Heck, my mom's got a podcast. And it turns out his mom has a podcast, and we're like, oh shit, okay. I mean, if your mom can do it, let's do it. So we got together and we came up with this rough concept, kicked around some ideas for the name around. And our first seven episodes, we just recorded on three separate areas off USB mics. And then we upgraded all the equipment to something a little bit higher standard. We built a big table so we can all sit together in the same room together. And that's when it really kind of turned into something a lot more fun.
Can we talk about the name for a minute? Like, how did you come up with the name? And I don't know, maybe you didn't come up with it. Maybe it was Joseph or Tyler. But how did the name, what's the origin behind the name, I should say?
We probably had like 10 or 15 different options. And some of them was like the movie Dungeon. That was Tyler's idea. Three knuckleheads and watching a movie or something, you know, just kind of goofy stuff. And Middle Class Film Class, that was my pick. And we're all just average guys. I mean, Joseph went to film school, but, you know, we're all working schmucks. And we have our own ideas about what we like in movies, but we're not classically trained and we're not going to pretend to be so. We try to pick apart movies and make fun, you know, make it a fun time. But ultimately, we're learning just as much about the movies as the listeners are, as we're going through this like kind of journey together. So we call our listeners classmates. We're not teachers. We're one of the classmates too. So it rolls off the tongue good, and it's got a good abbreviation.
Yeah, it does actually. Yeah, it does. Is the side project, and I know this is a kind of an inside joke on the show. How's the side project, Tyler and Company?
Oh, how do you know about Tyler and Company?
I do my research, Peter. I listened to a few episodes. So,
dude, that's fantastic. That's a deep pull. We haven't talked about Tyler and Company in probably a year. Tyler and Company is dead. It is hit a wall. It's been buried 10 feet under because Tyler refuses to produce it. It's his passion project where he can talk about communism at will and how it's the perfect system of government, except for it doesn't factor in human nature. And the joke that I always tell him is that if we were all ants, communism would be great, but we have feelings, so that's never going to happen. So for your listeners who don't know, Tyler would constantly talk about all these ridiculous topics, and we're like, no, we're not talking about that. This is a movie show, Tyler. Save that for Tyler and Company. And he kept threatening to make this show, and he never did it. And he said, I said, in 30 days, I want you to have episode one, and we'll be your guests. And he 30 days came and went. He had nothing prepared. So I prepared an episode for him. I forced it on him, and we sprung it on him on the show. And I had cue cards for him and everything, as if it was like the Marv Griffin show or whatever, like a late night talk show. He was very shocked. And we've had two episodes of Tyler and Company at the beginning of the show, and they were gangbusters.
I'll tell you right now, as that was the first episode I listened to was your Black Dynamite episode, which I will dive into in a minute. Yeah. And here's why. I love Black Dynamite. Like, it's one of my favorite films of all time. I watch it every couple of years and still laugh hysterically at the gags. I mean, I love it. And I was taken aback. I was like, what the hell did I walk in on? This is like,
I know,
because I was listening. I'm like, wait, what the hell? And then when you guys started to explain it after the gag, I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Okay, I get it. It's a joke. Because I was really confused. I'm like, what the hell is this?
What an episode to start listening. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
The music stops, alternate soundtrack plays in.
Yeah. And I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, that was the USSR's anthem with a like a remix. Yeah,
well, real quickly,
Black Dynamite forever. I can quote that forever.
Oh my gosh. You know, my story of how I found it was I had a friend. He now lives in Washington, D.C., but who lived real close to me here in Columbus. And we started doing bad movie nights where we would purposely try to find bad movies.
Yeah.
And we picked up Black Dynamite, and we got done, and we're like, holy shit, that was really good. And that happened frequently. Another one, Attack the Block, which I think
I love that one.
Yeah, John Boyega's like breakout role. We got down, we're like, this is going to look like shit. This is going to be bad. And we watched it. We're like, holy shit, that was great. You know,
great creature graphics. Yeah, creature effects were awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't get me wrong. We also saw some really horrible ones that lived up to it, like Birdemic.
Wonderful.
Room.
Birdemic.
Yeah. So don't worry. We found some really shitty ones too, but there were these nuggets that we found, and I just, dude, Black Dynamite's fantastic. I love it.
I like there's so many, like almost every single line is a joke.
Right.
Which it kind of like harkens back to like the Zucker Brothers or like the Airplane and, you know, all those. And I know it's probably not very popular to say, but I rewatched Airplane a couple times as an adult, and it just doesn't have the same punch as it does like when you first, like maybe if you're introduced to that as like an early comedy as a youth, it works. But and there are some good gags in there, but it's not like the ratio is not very good. With Black Dynamite, it's kind of like MacGruber, where it's so ridiculous and there's so many jokes per minute, and every line is delivered, even the ones that are delivered straight is a joke.
You know, right. I am like, smiling.
Yeah, exactly. I threw that shit before I came in the room. That's so good.
And see, and for me also too, I admire blaxploitation films. Like, I like them. I will seek them out to see them. And like Truck Turner, I think is a fantastic movie. There's one that not many people know about, and just cheap plug, I think it's still on YouTube, the entire movie for free, called The Brotherhood of Death. Peep this. It's four African-American fellows who go to Vietnam. They come back from Vietnam. And in the meantime, the KKK is set up shop in their neighborhood.
Oh, great.
Insert guns and explosions, and you have yourself one fantastically fun movie.
What's it called?
The Brotherhood of Death.
All right. I'm adding it to my list.
Okay.
Blaxploitation is a big blind spot for me. And I've been listening. There's one of the podcasts I listen to religiously is called the Force 5 podcast. And Jason Kleberg is a host of that. And he's got a very strong like cult vibe to a lot of movies he watches, or schlock, or, you know, blaxploitation. Mm-hmm. He's introducing me to a term I've never heard before called Canucksploitation, just the Canadian version of that. Ozploitation, which is Australian. And I've caught a couple really interesting ones that I never would have seen, you know, through his show. He's a big Vinegar Syndrome fan. Vinegar Syndrome, right?
Yeah.
I only have one title from them, is the New York Ninja. It's just a fantastic story behind that movie, but that's a story for another day.
You know, just, okay, to wrap up with Black Dynamite, Columbus, Ohio, obviously, for those that don't know, it hosts the Arnold Classic, the Arnold Schwarzenegger Sports and Fitness. They have a Hall of Fame that they put various different people in, you know, different athletes and whatnot. I did not know this, and it's probably good that I did not know this, but I think in 2018, Michael Jai White went into the Hall of Fame.
Really?
Because he's a very good martial artist, as I think you mentioned on the episode. And I'm so glad that I didn't know that, because I would have gotten a ticket just to yell when he went to the stage. But I sell drugs to the community.
But Black Dynamite. Oh, God, that's a great line. That's Cedric Yarbrough says that line from Reno 911.
Oh, yeah, that was fantastic. Another favorite one of mine is, who be interrupting my kung fu? And he answers when he answers the phone.
You know not to call me when I'm practicing kung fu. I like too, where he is the hero, but at the same time, he's not a perfect hero. Like, he's talking to one of his women, and he's like, shut your ass. You want me to send you back to Crenshaw Pete with his hot ass coat hangers?
And I also enjoy too the one about my mama says my daddy's name is Black Dynamite. Oh, hush, child. There are lots of cats with that name.
Yeah. That's a real common name. Oh, man, that's awesome. A good one. Yeah, that episode was fun too, because we have we have on our show, I don't know if you're gonna be able to hear this on your side, but you know, we have a lot of sound effects.
Oh, Jesus.
Can you hear that?
Yes, I did
hear. Okay, and we'll put them in that one the whole time. It's just Dynamite. It's a great filler. So we do a lot of sound drops in during the show, and it's pretty fun.
Could we talk about another episode that I got halfway through? Blue Valentine.
Ooh, yeah, David Lynch. You know, you ever seen the movie?
Blue Valentine, not Blue Velvet.
Oh, I'm sorry, Blue Valentine. I was thinking Blue Velvet. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Blue Valentine. That was a while ago. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I listened to that one too, because that movie has, I mean, it's the only movie, number one, that I ever got like the quote private showing, because nobody else came. I was the only one in the theater, which is pretty badass. And I'm glad nobody was in the theater, because I ended up crying like a child.
Wow, really? Movie.
Yeah.
It got you, huh?
It got me, man. That final scene, I was like, just rip my heart out and stomp all over it.
Yeah, Ryan Gosling, he knows what he's doing. I mean, he plays a good dirtbag, and you still want to like him.
Yes, I agree.
It's not a whole lot of actors that can do that.
No, agreed, 100%. Hey, you know what? I'm talking about episodes of MCFC. What are some of your favorite ones?
Oh, gosh. I'm biased because, you know, every third movie review is one that I chose. So I inherently like those a little bit better, just because that's me. I love the MacGruber episode. Super fun. It's one of the most ridiculous comedies of the last 20 years. It's so over the top and stupid. And it plays homage to 80s and 90s action movies, almost like Hot Fuzz does, but in a very, very different way. That one's fun. Got to pull a lot of good clips from that too to play during the show. What was the other one? American Psycho, another great dark comedy. And then I have two very personal episodes, because we'll take calls from whoever on the show. My mom's a big fan. She listens to the show. She's a big movie buff herself. She's where I got my love of movies. She used to pull me out of school when I was in high school, and she'd be like, "Hey, let's hit the road today. Let's go out to the Bay Area. Let's go to this art house theater in Mill Valley and watch some indie movie." And we would watch Ponette. This is a really sad movie about a little girl whose parents die in a car crash, and she has to reconcile with that. It's like French. She's like five. The whole movie is following this really sad orphan with a broken arm around, and it's like, oh, but it's good, really good. And we watched Bend It Like Beckham at that theater. A couple other movies I can't recall off the top of my head, but she said, "Hey, what's your movie you're watching this week? I want to watch it." And I was like, "Oh, it's Hereditary by Ari Aster." And have you seen it?
I've seen it, yes.
Okay. So I tell her, it's a little bit of a tough watch, and there's one scene that's going to stick with you. So she watched it, and then we called her on the show to get her opinion about it, and she actually watched it three times in that week, because she said she watched it on her phone one time and was like, "Okay, that's... I need to watch it again. There's little clues and there's a lot of miniatures and stuff in it." So she watched it on the TV, and then she's like, "I don't know what the hell I just watched." So she watched it again. And the entire time she's recalling, she's like, "Well, maybe that was the scene that is hard to watch when her head comes off." And then the dad catches on fire. "Well, maybe that's the scene that's hard to watch." And then Toni Collette stuck to the ceiling, song her head off with a piano wire. "Well, maybe that's the scene that's hard to watch. I don't know." that was kind of fun watching my mom, listening to my mom get traumatized by this movie I assigned her. And then I also had her on another episode when we reviewed E.T., the Extraterrestrial. That movie was a movie that I was terrified of as a child just because of the creature. For whatever reason, it just got under my skin. I watched it too young or something, and my parents watched it. They loved the movie, so they watched it a lot, and I was always just scared shitless. I had nightmares about him for, you know, a decade. So I put it on the wheel. We watched it so I can overcome my fear because I still freaked out by the thing. And it worked for the most part. It's the edge got taken off of that creepy factor of that monster. But I had my mom on the show to confront her about childhood trauma.
I don't want to trump childhood trauma.
Yeah, go for it.
As an 8-year-old, I went to go see RoboCop.
Oh boy! Oh god, that's a rough one.
I conned my aunt into taking me to go see RoboCop, and she was clueless. She did not really even know what she was getting herself into. We get into the theater, and after that first scene, I start freaking out, and my aunt's like, "That's it, we're going." And I remember her like giving the business to the ticket taker, and the ticket taker's like, "Ma'am, it's your kid. We're not. That's not my kid. Actually, it's my nephew." And they're like, "Okay, it doesn't matter. You bought a ticket."
Technicality, but you're yours right now.
Right. She was not very happy. And
wow.
And looking back on it, it's like, why did you take me to an R film?
8 years old. Yeah. Ed 209, just the movement of it is creepy. Uh-huh. When he blows the guy away in the boardroom, that's rough. That's a hard watch. Murph getting turned into RoboCop is a hard watch. Mm-hmm. The chemical bath, that's a hard watch.
Shit. Well, I never got past the first scene, so I was like, we were gone, but so
my girlfriend walked out of Hereditary when we saw it in the theaters after the head removing scene. She's really? Like, I'm done, I can't take it. Okay. So I had to catch a ride home with a friend. And that's okay.
No, that's fine.
Know thyself, you know.
That's right. So what are some of your favorite movies?
I've been saying for years that There Will Be Blood is my all-time favorite movie. So good. P.T. Anderson is very, very hard to beat. I could pick just about anything out of his catalog, and it's pretty high up there. But one is a little bit of a smaller movie that I really love. It's called Whiplash. Mm-hmm. Damien Chazelle. It stars Miles Teller as Andrew Neiman and J.K. Simmons as his abusive jazz instructor. And it has a fantastic score. Keep the volume on 11 every time I watch it. And I'm a jazz fan from way back in the day. I played in jazz ensembles, trombone, for years. So I love a good jazz soundtrack. And then the themes, though, of that movie, the movie itself is shot good. It's acted well. But the themes are so intricate that sometimes I'll watch it and I side with Fletcher. And sometimes I watch it and I'm like, Fletcher's an asshole. No one should be like Fletcher. So I don't know. It's really interesting, and it pulls at my emotional heartstrings just about every time I watch it. But that final scene when he's doing the drum solo and his dad finally sees, Paul Reiser finally sees what his son is capable of through the double doors. It gets me goosebumps every time. So good.
Okay.
How about you? What do you like? What's your besides Black Dynamite?
Black Dynamite, Memento. Memento to me was like a game changer when I saw it in the theater. I was like, this is just fucking awesome. That's the only way I can say it. I like the original three trilogies of Star Wars, you know, New Hope, Empire, Jedi. I don't hate the other ones. It's just those are the ones I grew up with. So yeah. Those are the ones that are my favorite. The first three Kevin Smith films, Clerks, Small Rats, Chasing Amy. I grouped them together as a trilogy as well. Fantastic stuff. I have a favorite documentary. I love Why We Fight, which is a very interesting movie about documentary about the military industrial complex and how it
Why We Fight. I've never heard of it.
Yeah, by Eugene Jarecki is the director. I don't think he directs anymore. I think now, weirdly enough, or maybe not really weirdly, but interestingly enough, I should say, he writes books now. I think he's totally like an author now.
That's interesting. I've never heard of that documentary. I don't watch a ton. I'd say if I were to pick off the top of my head, favorite documentary, King of Kong, Fistful of Quarters.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Such a good. Yeah, it's so good. But low stakes, but it feels high stakes.
I love the guy that goes around and goes, excuse me, there's a Donkey Kong kill screen coming up. Excuse me, yeah. There's a Donkey Kong kill screen coming up. Like,
I don't know if you're interested. There's a kill screen on coming in. Yeah. He's his little lackey. Yeah. Oh, God. Billy Mitchell. Billy Mitchell, that's it. What a creep. One of the all-time great, like, real-life, low-level creeps.
But he had a fantastic mullet.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what's his name? Kiefer Sutherland in Lost Boys would be jealous. Yeah, we'll do, like, spur-of-the-moment lists on the show sometimes. Like, we'll get off on a tangent, and we're like, you know, there are some pretty good mullets out there. All right, top five mullets, real quick. We got Kiefer. We got pretty much Joe Dirt, of course.
Of course.
That's a classic.
Swayze had something going on there. That wasn't quite a mullet, but it was kind of in that, you know, it would be a cousin of the mullet, if you will.
It's like a feathered mullet more than anything.
Yes.
Kurt Russell, for a lot of his career, was rocking a mullet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some good stuff out there. We have a close friend. He's a friend of the show, Adam Murphy, local celebrity Adam Murphy. And he rocks a pretty solid mullet in real life, IRL. And he hosts once a month a live movie night at this place called the Red Museum in Sacramento. And it's free to get in, bring your own beer, bring your own seats. And we just project some fun movie to watch. We've done Starship Troopers there, Sleepaway Camp, the original Nosferatu, Wild at Heart, Live and Die in LA. A lot of fun stuff. In person, and it's a cool event, but he's one of our buddies that puts it on, so it's a cool Sacramento's got a good movie space.
Well, that's cool. I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Peter for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all of your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. They even have a great pool system, a friendly staff. You can't go wrong by picking World's Greatest Comics as your comic book store. So check out the store if you're in the area. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. You can even find them online. WGComics.com is the website. And they're even on Facebook. Just look for @WGComics. And if you interact with anybody from the store, please let them know that you heard about World's Greatest from yours truly, right here on the PVD Cast. I know you... said when we were talking and exchanging emails and whatnot that you have a list of some great sports movies.
Yeah, I mean, I got more comic book movies than anything. I do. Okay, I could tell you my favorite sports movies.
Sure.
There's one fantastic one. It's a little bit of a stretch because it's not a team sport, but it's called The Novice. Came out last year, and it stars the actress who plays. Remember that scary movie called The Orphan?
Yeah.
Was like the girl, she's like 30 years old, but looks like a 12-year-old. That was the twist. Well, that same actress, she plays a college student who is joining a crew team, like rowing.
Okay. I've seen previews for this. Okay.
Very, very good. It's basically Whiplash, but with a girl, and instead of drumming, it's rowing. And there's no teacher pushing her. It's herself. She's like her own worst enemy. And it is intense. It is really, really good. It's it touches on a lot of the same hallmark tropes that you'll see in the sports documentary about pushing yourself beyond and never giving up and all that stuff, but it's almost done from a kind of like a toxic standpoint. But at the end, she succeeds, she does what she wants, and she feels satisfied about it. So I mean, was it really toxic or not?
Yeah.
That's a good one. I mean, I always like the classics. I like A League of Their Own. We covered that on the show. Great period piece sports movie. I like the original Major League, second one. No, never. and then as far as hockey movies go, Goon, you fan of Goon?
Yeah, with Sean William Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard very good things about it. I've never seen, but I've heard very good things about it. No, I've never seen it.
Dude, if you're a hockey guy, you got to check it out. Okay. It's got Liev Schreiber as an enforcer. Mm-hmm. And Sean William Scott plays kind of a dim-witted, kind-hearted sort of. Also, he's also an enforcer for minor league team. He's playing for a minor league team, and like the main enforcer in the major leagues gets brought down for like beating the shit out of somebody at a game. So they put him down in the minor leagues, and he's going to retire soon anyways. And he's got a bone to pick. And Sean William Scott's the only guy in front. Oh man, it's pretty good.
Okay,
it's a good one. And then, of course, Happy Gilmore, not a hockey movie, but he's a hockey player at heart. He putts with a hockey stick.
That's right. I'll allow that. I think that's a hockey movie. Yeah. I like Miracle. I think it's a very good movie in terms of, you know, telling the story of Herb Brooks in the 1980 Olympic team. So that's my favorite hockey movie. Slapshot also, too. I think as a hockey fan, you have to like Slapshot.
I haven't seen those since, I mean, Slapshot, I don't know if I've seen it all the way through, but Miracle I haven't seen since I was just probably under 10, so I don't really remember any of it. As far as comic book movies go, though, it's weird because I consider myself a comic book movie fan, although I haven't seen the last like 7 Marvel movies.
So. I'm behind too. People are giving me a shit because I still haven't seen Spider-Man yet, the newest Spider-Man. Now Doctor Strange is out, so I'm like, well, shit. Now I got to get this one done. You know, I got to get these back to back. Yeah. So
do you watch the TV series, the Disney Plus series that they?
Yes. Put? Yes. Okay. I still have to do Moon Knight yet, as I haven't watched that. But Hawkeye was great. I really liked WandaVision. It was much better than I anticipated or I expect. Loki was okay. I don't know. Yeah. Loki was to me kind of didn't hit on the cylinders I was hoping for, but. Mm-hmm. You know, I do like superhero movies too, and comic book movies as well. So what's on your list?
Let's see. So these are a few that are a little bit off the beaten path. Dread is a big one that I'm a big proponent of Dread. It's not a comic book, but it was a comic strip that was in continuous rotation for like, I want to say like 35 years in England, called 2000 AD or 2280 or something like that. And Dread was like Judge Dread was one of the main characters in it. And fantastically portrayed by Carl Urban. Mm-hmm. This is the first movie that was directed by Alex Garland, although he wasn't credited for it. He wrote the screenplay, and Pete Travis was credited as the director, although they basically, the studio didn't even let Pete Travis in the editing room because there was something happening. They didn't reveal why, but they said, no, you're out of it. Alex Garland did the editing, and he never got a co-producer or co-director credit, but it is essentially his first directed movie before he did Ex Machina. So love Dread.
You know, that version of Dread, by the way, was very reminiscent of The Raid for me.
Same plot.
Same plot and very reminiscent. And I love The Raid. I thought The Raid was a massively underrated action flick that was just bonkers, but great.
That is definitely in the higher echelon of movies that been getting talked about a lot more often, which it should be. But when it first came out, everyone's kind of like, what is it? I think it's Ty, isn't it? Ty?
I think so. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, I'm not going to watch this Taiwanese invasion movie. You know, that's for the genre fans, the John Woo fans, you know, but it's pretty good. And it's
very good.
People will knock Dread for having a very similar storyline. I want to say that the script was in production before the Raid Redemption ever came out. And who cares? Avatar is basically Pocahontas and Ferngully and any other story from Disney that they dug up from the Germans in 1600, you know? So it's like, who cares? Who did it better? They're both did it great. You know, you can appreciate them both.
Okay. What other comic book movies are on your list there?
I got this one that most people don't even realize is a comic book movie is Old Boy, Chan-Wook Park's Old Boy. Do not, right now, anybody who says, ooh, Old Boy, I've heard that. Maybe I should watch that. Maybe I should add that to my watch list. If you're going on your phone right now to add this to a watch list, do not watch the American Old Boy. Watch the original. The American one, directed by Spike Lee, starring Josh Brolin, is an abomination. It is a crime against nature.
Another one, much like Godfather Part 3, that I refused to watch because people said, no one I knew that saw it was like, oh, it's good. It's worth the watch. No.
No.
Absolutely not.
It almost tarnishes the legacy, and I know that's stupid to say, but oh my god, it's disrespectful. but I will say you can watch Godfather Part 3, watch The Coda if you ever feel so inclined, because I don't think it's a bad movie. If you thought how I thought about Part 2, you might like Part 3. So and then of course people forget Men in Black is such a fun movie. I'm not shining any new light on this underutilized movie, but Men in Black is so fun. Number 2 was also very good. Number 3 not as good, but the first Men in Black was that was like when Will Smith really solidified himself as a star.
Because that was prior to Independence Day, or was Independence Day before Men in Black? I think Men in Black was first.
There was, yeah, I'm not really sure. They seem to me they're like in the same era. So, Men in Black was 97, and let's see here, Independence Day, and I like Independence Day is 96. So like right at the same time.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And one of the greatest character actors of our generation played one of his greatest roles, Vincent D'Onofrio as the Edgar Bug.
Yes.
Was almost unrecognizable, and you believed it that he was a bug in a dead guy skin. So that's Men in Black. And then one that I really am a champion of, another movie that I'm a champion of, that it has a great comic book series, and there's an animated series on Netflix now as well. I think it's Netflix, is Constantine. Starring Keanu Reeves,
oh, yeah,
and Rachel Weisz. That movie has one of my favorite depictions of angels, which is Tilda Swinton, the perfect angel, mm-hmm. just androgynous as hell. Not sure if they're human or not. And then Peter Stormare plays a really, really fantastic version of the devil in that.
Those are solid picks, man. Mine, The Watchmen. Watchmen to me is one of my favorite comic books of all time. Again, another thing that I read every 3 or 4 years. I liked both Sin City movies. Mm-hmm. I thought they were very well done. Road to Perdition, which many people don't know was a comic.
Yeah, I've never seen it. I left off my list because I've never seen it before, but I thought, wow, I never knew that when I was researching.
yeah. So I'm a big fan of that. I'm trying to think what else would be on my list. I mean, obviously, you know, Avengers Endgame would be on there, and all the big ones certainly would make it. But I'm trying to think of some that are off the beaten path. Oh, A History of Violence. I believe that was a comic book with Vince Locke. Yeah,
it is. I just watched that this week for the first time because I'm.
Oh, really?
I do like Cronenberg, and I am getting ready for his Crimes of the Future that's going to be coming out either this year or next year. Mm-hmm. And I've heard it, and I like Viggo Mortensen. I watched it, and it was like. It was very good. It was a pretty small, like, pretty self-contained little movie with some really, really, really good performances in it. I was kind of hoping for a little bit more just because Cronenberg has proven that he pushes the envelope so far that I was maybe just a tiny bit crestfallen with the restraint that was shown in there. But yeah, very good.
Yeah, very, very good. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll tell you, my first Cronenberg film that I ever watched was Crash, the one with Danny DeVito, and I forget what Arquette's sister was in there. And I was like,
yeah.
What the fuck am I watching? Like it was weird.
Yeah. That's probably the right response to that movie.
Yeah, exactly. Peter, do you have any guilty pleasures? Like a movie that you really love, but you're ashamed to admit it. And if you want, I'll rip the Band-Aid off and say mine is Bring It On.
Oh, really?
It's not a good movie, but cute little Kirsten Dunst as a cheerleader. I don't know. I got a soft spot for it. I don't know.
Is Hayden Panettiere in that too?
She's in the second one.
Okay, that's or what am I thinking of? Step It Up or something? Maybe I'm getting those mixed up.
It's Kirsten Dunst, Elijah Dushku from Buffy the Vampire Slayer fame.
Okay, yeah.
And who is the other young lady that's in it? Oh, damn it, I'm forgetting. But yeah, it's not a very good film. But
I'm pretty sure I've seen it. My sister and my mom, they were both really strong into cheerleading for like 10 years. So there was always some Drumline movie or Step It Up or Cheer Squad or whatever movie it was on the TV. And I'm fine with that. that's a great guilty pleasure pick. I have two from last year, maybe like in the last 2 years. There's one called Shadow in the Cloud. It's a, Chloe Grace Moretz feature, and it was shot during COVID, and she basically is a bomber gunner on like a World War II transport vessel, and she's got this package that she needs to get from New Zealand to England, and it's a direct message from the general, no, don't question me. So she gets on the plane and she essentially has this package, and there's a group of guys that are kind of like, why the general put this, you know, this young girl on this plane with us, this seems very suspicious. And she gets kind of stuck in the gunner seat. And then it turns into almost like a radio drama because she's separated from the rest of the cast. And you could tell they did something because of COVID where they were filming separately. And so it's kind of like this weird, like melodrama, radio drama where you just hear the voices over the intercoms. And then it turns into like a Twilight Zone episode mixed with like Fast and the Furious set in World War II times. And the tone shift is so dramatic. There's at one point that you look at it and you're like, what the fuck is this? Who okayed this shot? There's, you know, like when in Fast Five, when they're dragging the giant bank safe through the city,
yes. You're
like, that's not possible. But it is fun to watch. There's a moment in this movie in Shadow in the Cloud when you see it and you're like, okay, now we're, what, where did we go? Where did we go wrong? And I eat it up every time. I don't want to spoil it because it gets so weird. But if you're into like something cheesy, that's kind of trash, but fun. Okay. It's a New Zealand production. So there's some, I don't know, there's some interesting choices with it. They really take some risks there. So that was one from last year. And then Barb and Star visit Vista Del Mar from last year.
Okay, you've dropped two titles that I'm not familiar with. So the first one and this one I've never heard of either.
Yeah.
So what's this one
about? I watch a ton of, last year I watched 525 movies. This year I'm on pace to break 500, but last year the goal was 500. So I mean, I watch at least one a day, usually two a day on the weekends. So Barb and Star visit Vista Del Mar, and it's Kristen Wiig and one of her, there was a writer from Saturday Night Live. I can't remember the actress's name, but she plays the other lead. And they're just gal pals. They're older ladies that are best friends, and they work in the same furniture store together. And they, beep, 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 beep. They're just constantly always jibber jabbering about whatever it is that your mom's friend would talk about, you know, when you run into each other at the grocery store. And it's so relatable because you're like, gosh, I've had so many like of my mom's friends that just act just like this. And they live in, I want to say it's either Iowa or Illinois or Ohio. It's somewhere in the Midwest, and I think they both get fired from their furniture store job, and they decide they're gonna throw caution to the wind. They're gonna go to the glorious exotic Vista Del Mar, Florida, for an adventure. And they just go to some retreat, and it's just the two of them doing things that you wouldn't expect them to do. And it's kind of like, it has the vibe of almost like an Austin Powers.
Okay.
Super campy, super over the top scenarios that are played very straight. And Kristen Wiig also plays the villainess in it too, almost like Mugatu from Zoolander, Will Ferrell's character from Zoolander. So over the top, ridiculous villain, and the things that they do there, and it's so funny. And it's almost like they expected the audience to be on acid the whole time, because it gets weird. It gets really weird. And I appreciate the dedication that they went for this weird vision that is definitely not everybody's cup of tea, and they did not turn once. It's the whole time is nonstop jokes. It's so good.
Okay, there you go, folks. Jot those two down if you want to catch a guilty pleasure of Pete's.
Yeah.
All right, with that, we're getting close to our end time here. So let's talk about social media, websites. Where can folks find MCFC?
Sure. Probably the best place to find us as far as interaction goes, if you're a Twitter person, follow me. My personal Twitter is the real _ Pete with 4 E's in the middle, PEEEETE. And it's a little hard to find. Or you can just go on our website. It's mcfcpodcast.com. You can find all our socials there. We do have a pretty active Facebook page as well. It's facebook.com/mcfcpodcast. And we are active on Twitter and Instagram. They're all slightly different names. So I always recommend people just go to the website, mcfcpodcast.com. You can find everything. You can submit a message there. You can send us an email. And if you listen to the show and you're like, hey, I want my movie on the list, I want my movie on the fan list, then you just write into us. We'll read it on the air, what it is, who sent it. And you go in the hopper for the fan list. If the wheel lands on the fan list, we basically choose at random from the amalgamation of fan picks. We don't have a Patreon or anything like that. I don't know if we have a plan for that anytime soon, but we're kind of kicking around the idea of, if you join the Patreon at a certain level or whatever, you could just assign a movie to us and we'll just watch it the next week, or do a special episode for everybody, an extra episode. But yeah, it's there is no special place to find it. Just go to your podcast player of choice. If you're whatever you're listening to this on, go to the search bar, type in Middle Class Film Class. It's a black and white logo. It's hard to miss.
There you go. And by the way, when he says it's on a wheel, it's a legit wheel. It is like, in fact, he's going to show us, even though this is an audio podcast.
Right here.
But yeah, it's right there. So it's a legit.
There's a wheel of destiny.
There you go. It's legit. I mean, all you're missing is Pat Sajak.
Yeah, there you go. We're the wheel of destiny is a very real thing, and it's a fickle mistress.
Well, there you go. Folks, check out the podcast, MCFC. Peter, thanks, man, so much for sitting down and chatting with me. I really do appreciate it.
No, it's a fun time, John. And I wasn't sure where our conversation was going to go because I always feel like a lot of the shows I'll guest on, it's like, here's the movie we're going to be viewing and here's what we're going to talk about. And it's part of our series or whatever, which I'm into. And whenever it's just, hey, just let's come and chat, it always worries me.
Okay, just because I'll take that as a compliment.
You're a very gracious host. You did your research, so I really appreciate that too, man. And thank you for listening.
You're quite welcome. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Pete Abeda from the middle class film class, or as the kids call it, MCFC. Actually, I don't know if the kids call it that or not, but it is its abbreviation. But nonetheless, I appreciate Pete taking some time out of his busy schedule to sit down and chat with me. And definitely check out the podcast. The couple of episodes I listened to, they're very entertaining and actually also very educational. I learned quite a bit from listening to those few episodes. So once again, check out MCFC. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I need to let you know where you can get in touch with me in case you have a question about this episode or any episode for that matter. You can shoot me an email if you like to be old school. JohnOrlando@pvdcast.com is my email address. You can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @PVDMVP. And you can leave me messages over on the Facebook and Instagram feeds. Just look for @PVDcast. And maybe you want to let some folks know where they can hear the PVDcast. Well, let me run down those avenues. PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly, where you can get every single episode, or you can, of course, use whatever your favorite podcasting platform or app is. Just look for PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it in the search engine, and you should be able to find it. And once you listen to an episode, it is incredibly important for you to rate and review. Give me as many stars as you think I deserve. Leave a quick comment. It doesn't have to be, you know, a sentence or anything, maybe a couple of words and that's it, because it really, really is important for not only myself, but every podcaster out there to get those numbers up through the, through the algorithm. And that happens when you rate and review. And you know what? Don't forget to subscribe either. Then that way you never miss an episode of this awesome podcast. Hey, there's one other quick thing I'd like to remind you about. That every Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time through the Facebook page of the PVDcast, I do a live Facebook broadcast. It's a lot of fun. It's an easy way to check out the week's episode. I hang out to answer questions or comments that might pop up in the during the broadcast. So definitely check it out. It's another great way to hear the PVDcast. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you once again for checking out this episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2022.